listening to Words and Nerds, talking to your favourite authors.
Today we welcome young adult author Steph Bowe. Her debut novel, Girl Saves Boy, was published in 2010 and has been translated into three languages. And her second novel, All This Could End, was published in 2013. Today we talk about Steph's latest novel, Night Swimming. Welcome, Steph.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've just finished Night Swimming and it was such an enjoyable read because it dealt with so many important issues.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
I love young adult fiction in that it does deal with these important societal issues, and Night Swimming is definitely one of these novels. What inspired you to write this particular novel?
I had a lot of different things and a lot of different thoughts going on when I was writing this. This was my third novel, and it was a few years between my second and my third, and I'd gone from being a teenager writing novels to someone in my early 20s writing. So I was sort of looking back on having been a teenager and thinking about the sort of novel that I would have loved to have read as a teenager. So there were both those sort of more serious things, like I was experiencing one of my relatives going through Alzheimer's, and I also wanted to, you know, deal with issues around queerness and around race in ways that I hadn't had the confidence to before. But I also had just a lot of like really random and silly ideas as well. Like I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, I've got a brilliant idea, and wrote down a note on my notebook on my side table, and then woke up in the morning going, oh, that's right, I had an amazing idea. And I'd just written in like huge all caps, goat tragedy. So it was sort of the combination of, you know, thinking about, you know, the things that affect teenagers and the things that I would have loved to have read as a teenager in a really serious way, and also all of these other just random and silly and fun things, and just, you know, that joy of writing as well.
Yeah, I find that is so true with young adult fiction, because you do deal with these really serious issues, but they're so fun to read as well. Yeah. So they've got that real humour and real lightheartedness and that teenage voice, which I think is really important.
And even when things are like really dark in real life, in fiction, wherever, you can still have those light moments and those moments of brevity. Like you don't necessarily have to, if you're going to write about serious issues, you don't have to write a story that's 100% dark. And I think for me, as both a writer and as a reader, what I really love and appreciate about young adult fiction is that ultimate hopefulness. Like you can deal with those serious issues, but you can also have, you know, all of those lighter moments and the hopefulness and the light in there as well.
Yeah, because that's life, isn't it? And sometimes you know, like with the Alzheimer's, you just have to deal with it even though you don't want to and you don't choose to. You just have to find a way of navigating that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you said you had personal experience with a relative having Alzheimer's. So did you take a lot of what was in the book from that experience?
Yeah, I was my great aunt came to live with my family just before I started writing this novel, and it was such a huge thing of, you know, our lives being turned upside down and really dealing with, you know, an elderly relative being sick for the first time and sort of seeing someone, you know, losing those aspects of themselves, which as someone who loves writing and who loves reading and, you know, is a person of the mind, so much of your memories and how you see the world is who you are. So to see someone losing that was really difficult. And it's something that affects so many people, not just elderly people, and it's something that obviously so many kids and teenagers are going to see in their families. So a lot of the things with Kirby's grandfather in the novel were pretty much directly lifted from experiences that I had with my auntie, and it was really probably the first time that I had lifted so much, and there's a lot of other things in the novel that were from my life, first time I was really writing from my own life. So I feel like, I hope that makes it more authentic and, you know, realistic and heartfelt, because it's a lot of things that actually did happen.
It did feel as though that was a personal issue, and it's interesting that you said that. It could have been from your life because it did have that authenticity. Yeah. And when Kirby says, you know, you don't just chuck away old people because they're not useful or because they remind us of our own mortality, was that your voice?
I think there's a lot of things, yeah, in that respect, yeah, there's a number of things which Kirby shares my opinion on, but then there's also a lot of things where she diverges from me, and that she has a lot of opinions that aren't my opinions as well. So I sort of used, and I think this is true in a lot of my writing and a lot of other people's writing, you sort of use aspects of yourself and then mash it in with other characters and other bits and pieces, because I feel like that, you know, can create a story that's hopefully more authentic.
One of my favourite things about the novel was the fact that Kirby was gay, but it wasn't a coming out story. It wasn't made a huge deal, because it's often, you know, quite a terrifying part for teenagers, the coming out stage. And she just is who she is. And she does mention it to a few people, like, oh, you know, I'm gay. But she just falls for whoever she falls for, and she's not defined by who she loves. I found that was a really important message. Was that an important message for you to get across as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's important that there are coming out narratives in fiction for all kinds of young people, but obviously for queer young people as well. But I feel like there's enough of that kind of story already, and I didn't feel like this story was going to be specifically a coming out story. I wanted to write a story where that was a part of the character without that being what defines the character, because there's so many experiences of being a queer young person that don't centre around coming out. And it was the first time I really felt comfortable sort of writing a central character who was a queer character and making that central to the story. And I hope that I did that in a way that wasn't, different from the way that I wrote the central romances of my first two novels, which were both boy-girl romances.
Yeah, I felt it was really nice because it was just about loving a human being. It wasn't about loving, another girl. It was just about loving this human being because she was this light and this hope, and she had this beautiful personality that just shone through. So I really liked how it was just focusing on the loving of another human.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you enjoyed that. For me, I sort of thought what I would have loved to have read as a young person, and I hope that, that's hopeful and positive for queer young people or whoever else reads it, and it's not different, because it's not different. It's the same experiences of love and romance and being a young person and going through all those highs and lows for the first time, and it doesn't really differ depending on, the gender of the character or where they live or whatever other factor.
Yeah, and that's what I found really refreshing. It was just it was normalising it and just saying, well, this is how it is, and it's not, it's not a big deal, and no one thought it was a big deal, and the story went on, and it's about friendship and love and overcoming adversity and all that other stuff. Yeah. So I thought that was really well done. I like the subtlety in that, because I think we do need more novels that just show that, it's just a part of being, it's not something we don't talk about anymore or don't accept. It just is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not the other. It's not different. Yeah. It's just part of the normal variation of people.
And today's society also consists of all types of families. And yes. I love how Kirby says, it's one of my favourite lines, a parent you know nothing about has a lot of imaginative potential. I love that. It's the same thing when you're single. These potential boyfriends or girlfriends have this, limitless potential. Yeah. And I really liked the idea of that. What were you trying to say about, teenagers and family dynamics, because there is such diversity now in the world?
I was, again, really writing heavily from my own experience and my own experience of being someone who was raised by a single parent, and also of obviously knowing lots of people who have been raised by single parents or by, step parents or in guardians or whatever other situation, rather than it being, because it's just part of the normal spectrum of different families. It's not as if there's one sort of default. I think sometimes in writing and in reading, people can get this idea like there's a certain kind of default person, and the default person, is white and cisgender and heterosexual, and they have, parents who are married and together and raise them. And that's not reflective of reality. So I just wanted to sort of write Kirby's experience in a way that rang true and hopefully didn't make out as if the experience of her being raised by a single parent was somehow less than or different than or inferior.
Yeah, the mother was an interesting character too, I found.
I think what I really wanted to do with that character is I didn't want to have a sort of stereotypical mother character, because I think even when you're sort of consciously going, I don't want to fall into tropes, I don't want to fall into cliches, we have all these really default ideas of, okay, this is what mothers are like and this is what fathers are like. And I thought, well, her mother's been raised by a single father herself, and it's a single father who's experienced war. And I thought, well, her mother's not, as a woman who's run a farm in the country on her own for so many years, she's not necessarily going to be that maternal person. So she shows her love for Kirby in a way that isn't necessarily, that sort of traditional motherly dynamic. And also I hope that I wrote her as an individual character as well, because I don't like the idea, and I think obviously young adult fiction now is wonderful and amazing. There's so many great writers writing awesome parent characters in YA now. But if you go like a little bit olden days, I think sometimes the parents can exist as sort of secondary to the kid characters, or, you know, just conveniently get killed off. So I really wanted a character who's sort of, her mother is her own person. She's not just a foil for Kirby.
Yeah, it's interesting when you become a mother, apparently that's all you are.
It's not how real people work.
No, it's just really not. But yeah, that's an interesting take. And that's what I thought about the mother. But I thought, wow, it's really nice to have that sort of secondary character who was a really complex character.
And it also plays into that idea, like there's this perception that all female characters have to be likable. And I really, I love Kirby's mum as a character. She's probably one of my favourite characters in the book. But I really disagree with that idea, like that all female characters have to be likable, because it plays into the idea that all women have to be likable. And it's like, no, complex, unlikable characters can be just as interesting and just as great to read about.
Now, Clancy is a really fun and interesting character. How did you develop him? His experiences of fitting in and not fitting in with the culture and difference. Where did he come from? I found he was such an interesting, unique character, really funny.
I'm really glad you like Clancy. I really wanted to create a character that was a bit of a counterpoint to Kirby, and also who represented the more sort of traditional young person in the country narrative, where they're just desperate to get out and get to the big city. And so I had a lot of different inspirations for Clancy, but I really wanted to write a character who was really comfortable within himself and was obviously someone who made Kirby's life a bit more exciting and a bit more flamboyant. And I also was really fortunate in that a friend of mine, Wendy Chen, read over the manuscript and gave me a lot of really helpful feedback, because I'm not Chinese, gave me a lot of really helpful feedback about some different aspects of Clancy's characterisation as a Australian Chinese character.
It's impossible to figure out how you're feeling from another person's culture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important. Like I'm really prioritising as a writer, learning about supporting obviously other diverse writers and diverse fiction, but also incorporating diversity into my own work. And I think in order to do that in a responsible way, if you're writing something outside your own experience, you really need to have someone who can read over your work and who you can empower to give you that good feedback, and who's not in a position where they're such a close friend that they can't tell you, maybe you shouldn't be writing this sort of thing.
And they both challenge stereotypes, you know, her as a carpenter, him just loving musicals, which I thought was just so fantastic. I wanted a best friend like him.
Yeah, same.
It was nice that they were just complex and didn't conform to any of these gender stereotypes. I think it made them richer. And I think it's helpful for kids to read that as well. You know, teenagers going, well, I don't have to fit in, because, you know, school's a tough place, and knowing that it's okay to be who you are. That's what's great about you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was something I was really conscious of as I was writing, which is, because as I've said before, it was something that I was writing, imagining me as a younger person reading it, which is that it is okay to be weird, and it's also excellent to be weird. It's what makes all of the characters interesting and dynamic and, you know, makes it an entertaining story, hopefully.
It's much better to be weird. Of course, Iris in this book, she's this beautiful light of hope. And we see only later on, which I find was really interesting structurally, because we see that she's beautiful and positive and full of light. And then we find out that she also has her own struggles and her own suffering. And it was nice to see her from a different perspective, because when she went to school, she had a bit of a hard time where they saw her differently. It was nice for her to be brought into a different light and we could see the other side of her. Was that a deliberate structural thing for you?
Yeah, I was definitely thinking about both the way in which we perceive people who we think are wonderful, or people who we're romantically interested in, which is in the case of Kirby, she just absolutely adores Iris and thinks she's this perfect person, but doesn't quite see her as a fully realised human being because she seems so wonderful on the surface. And I was also thinking, which obviously she finds out later, much more about her and understands her more as a real person rather than as the object of her affections. But I was also thinking about this idea of the faces that people put onto the world versus what people's actual experiences are. So in Iris's case, she has depression and she's dealt with bullying, and there's a lot of things that have been difficult in her life, but she very much has a public face and a personality because that's how so many people exist in the world. Like, you cannot know people's suffering or what people deal with just based on the superficial aspects of their personalities.
And she was such a beautiful example of just being who you are, and you don't need other people's permission to exist. Yeah. You just exist as you are. And I think, you know, she was a really beautiful example of that.
Thank you.
Now, talking about crazy ideas, one of the crazy ideas in your novel was about, you know, the possible alien invasion. So how on earth did you come up with that?
I always really loved the X-Files, and I also have someone in my family who very much loves conspiracy theories, so it was a bit of a thing for them. I think for me it was just thinking about the sort of things that happen in the country, obviously, and also just thinking about the idea of, it's not so much about the crop circles, but it's about the idea of all of the gossip going through the town and all of this drama around something that is really actually very easily explained. And I also vaguely thought at the very, very beginning, before I started properly writing the book, that maybe I would have aliens in it, which I'm glad that I didn't put them in the end. But yeah, so in the end, it was more about that sort of idea of something small happening in a town and all of this drama being built around it, even when it was easily explained. But yeah, there's probably like an alternate universe where I wrote the novel and it's got aliens in it, and it might be more awesome. I don't know.
I just love the idea. As you were speaking, I'm trying to think, how would aliens fit into that novel? But I think it's great. It could be a great writing activity.
You know, when I'm in like the really, really early stages of something, and I found a notebook the other day with heaps of notes from before I actually properly started writing it. And there was just so much stuff that would not have fit at all. But just when you're in that point really early on in the process, there's so much possibility, and you're like, oh, I can put everything in this. Like, I had a whole side plot with some backpackers who were working on the farm, and there was all these other things going on, and I'm like, this would never have fit, but I love it. It's just that's the fun part, coming up with lots of random ideas, but then you have to be responsible and be like, I must write a somewhat logical novel now.
Not just a dream sequence.
No.
But I think it might be a good activity for students actually to have a look and try and add those peculiar characteristics into a novel and see what happens.
Yeah, turn it into a paranormal novel. That'd be awesome.
Why not? And we'll send it to you.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Now, above all, I think the book is about friendship, and it's about all types of love. And I love in the book when Clancy says, fine, okay, here it is. You've always fitted in. You've always belonged here. This was always your place. Even though I was born here and live here, same as you, you can go anywhere you want. You're so bloody smart, and yet you want to stay here. Since I was 5, I've wanted nothing more than to leave and be someplace else where things actually happen. But my parents will never let me go. And I just thought that was such a beautiful piece, because we often see characters, as we do with Clancy, like you said, you know, the face that people put on is that, you know, happy and crazy and a bit eccentric, but we never know people's actual story or interior monologue. So it was really nice to hear that other side from Clancy.
Yeah, and I think a similar thing happened there with Kirby and Iris, with Kirby perceiving Clancy as being just this absolutely flawless, incredibly confident human being, and not really having an understanding of what he's actually experienced, like being Chinese in a predominantly white town, and, you know, that whole controlling nature of his family wanting to protect him and keep him close. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice, and it's hard often to hear other people's perspectives when it's written from another person's perspective, but it was really nice to hear that, and it actually made him, you know, so much more of a complex character. And reading is so important for kids to, you know, learn about empathy, and I felt that your book really, you know, lended itself to that, because young adult fiction is not about being perfect. It's not about having the perfect life. It's about how to overcome the obstacles, even if we don't want them. It's about becoming a better friend and how you can't control others' actions, but despite all this, you know, you'll be okay. So I thought that message in that was really strong.
Great. Thank you.
You know, when you're writing these novels, do you often think about, you know, what the readers are going to get out of it?
Yeah, I do. I think that there's a certain line between thinking about the finished product and thinking about how readers are going to experience it, which of course you do. And it gets to a certain point, though, where you really have to, you know, zoom in your focus and not look far ahead and not think about that, because you can't really understand or predict how different readers are going to respond to it. Obviously, I think about making sure that it's, you know, level appropriate for the age group I'm writing for, and I'm not, you know, making references to TV shows I like, because I'm now significantly older than the target demographic, and they probably don't love The X-Files as much as I do. So I sort of think in those terms, but I think ultimately that's sort of something that might be more later in the process and editing and really thinking, okay, what would someone who, how can I zoom out and go, what's someone who's not me, how are they going to experience this? But during the actual writing process, I think I thought a lot more about writing for myself as a younger person, which seems very narcissistic, but I think sometimes if you're thinking too much about other people's perspectives, it makes it impossible to work. Yes. So I had to really zoom in.
Absolutely. And I think as well, you can never predict how readers are going to take your work. And so you kind of just have to put it out there and just let people read it and experience it however they do, like with any artwork.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's that process of finishing a book and then having it published, you really have to release it and accept that however people experience it is true and real, and your intentions don't really matter anymore because it's their experience of the words and of the story.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Your previous novels, you were such a young writer when you started. Were you one of these lucky people who just always knew what you wanted to do, or was there something that sparked this when you were young?
I always knew that I wanted to be a writer. I was incredibly obsessive about stories and about writing, even from when I was a really tiny kid. So that was always something I always thought that I would end up doing. And then probably when I was about 13 or 14, I started really seriously, you know, looking at publishers, researching agents, you know, writing full-length novels and really sort of dedicating myself to it. So I was very lucky in that I knew that that was what I would do, but I also completely let it dominate my life for, you know, most of my childhood.
And how do you find the diligence to write, or especially when you were much younger, like 13 and 14, what sort of advice would you give young people to have that diligence to be dedicated to something that you really enjoy?
It was really easy for me as a young person because I was completely obsessed with it. Like, nothing mattered to me as much as writing, and stories felt incredibly real to me, and it was very easy to write. Which is probably not very useful advice for kids who aren't as passionate about writing. For me as an older person now, because I've done it for so long, and obviously as someone who's published a few books, I've got a very different sort of writing process. I think it really helps to be writing a story that you're really passionate about, that really comes from your heart, that you really think should exist, that you really wish did exist. And also, of course, just having, you know, different things to write when you get stuck, talking to people when you get stuck with writing, having people who are holding you accountable, all of those sorts of things to sort of avoid writer's block. But ultimately, I think it's a matter of if it's difficult for you, it's a matter of that point where the words start to flow and it gets easier, because it's not always super easy to write. A lot of it is hard work.
And what is your writing process, and has it changed throughout your career?
For me, it changes from book to book. So with Night Swimming, I had lots of ideas over a few months, and then I wrote most of the manuscript inside 1 month and basically just wrote constantly all the time and finished it and then edited it over the next few months. Usually there's that process of thinking about a story for several months, writing notes, things like that, but then I'll write over a longer period of time. It really depends on the book for me. Sometimes I'll be writing every day on a project, a little bit every day, and sometimes I'll be writing obsessively in big chunks and then not write again for a few weeks. I feel like I probably should be one of those disciplined people who's writing, you know, 1,000 words a day, but that hasn't worked out for me so far. But I'm hopeful that I can eventually become that person.
Well, it seems like it's working out for you pretty well anyway. And I'm always really interested in the publishing process, and it seems so foreign to kids. You know, when you talk about how you publish a book, they look at you as if it's impossible, and it's not impossible. But I love hearing about people's publishing journey, because it always seems to have a little bit of luck, you know, a fair bit of talent, but so much hard work. What was your publishing journey like?
For me, it was quite a short publishing journey. I sent my second manuscript that I'd ever written to a couple of publishers and got a couple of rejections and really nice rejection letters. And then with my third book, I sent it out to agents and entered in a critique contest on a blog and ended up signing with that agent. And this had happened over the course of a few weeks. And then a couple of months after that, my agent had sent my book out to publishers, and I had a book deal out here in Australia, and then it translated into a couple of other languages. And it very much for me was both, I had put my work out there, but I also had a lot of luck. Like, it was the right manuscript in the hands of the right person at the right time. And I think that it's, you know, I was 15 years old and it all happened within the course of a few months. And I think that if I say that, people go, that doesn't really seem like, you know, it doesn't seem like you earned it. You have to pay your dues sort of thing. But I think it is, so much of it is just randomness and luck. And it doesn't mean that my manuscript or me as a writer were any better than the next writer who spent years trying to get a book deal, because so much of it is outside of your control. All you can really do is put your work out there and have a go.
So what's next? You've got 3 novels already out, Night Swimming being your latest. And like you said, you're published at 15, which I just find extraordinary and really inspiring for young writers as well. What's next for Steph?
Oh, I'm still writing. I haven't got anything specific at the moment that I would feel comfortable talking about, because as you might have gathered, my stories, my novels tend to change a lot over the course of writing them. Aliens cease to exist. But I'm still writing. I'm writing another young adult novel, and I'm sort of putting a lot of time into that at the moment. And I'm also studying psychology, which I highly recommend to anyone who's wanting a subject to study that relates to writing, because it's all very interesting. You're always thinking about how people think and why they think the way they think, which is awesome for when you're writing characters.
That's so funny. I've spoken to a few authors who are studying psychology as well. I think there's going to be lots of amazing characters created because of this.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, they kind of go hand in hand though, don't they? Because I guess in order to be a writer and create complex characters, you do need a really deep understanding of humanity and what makes us human.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for chatting to us today and giving a bit of an insight into Night Swimming and, you know, you as a writer. I think it's really helpful for readers and for students as well. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You are listening to Words and Nerds, talking to your favourite authors.